Okay, we're starting here at the top of Nun Aleph Nun Aleph. The Mishnah told us that a tarvad shel rekev, that a spoonful of dust or rotted dust from a mate is metame be'ohel and will affect the nazir and cause him to be okir his nazirut, and therefore you have to bring a karban tuma and be metaher from this. And now the Gemara wants to know, what is this? Tarabanan, ezu mate sheish lo rekev. What's this case, or what's this situation in which a mate has this wreck of this rot that turns into a dust that will be mitameh? So the case is mate nikba arum be'aron shel shayis ol gabi ritzba shel avanim. It's only in reference to a mate that was buried naked, meaning it had no other clothing or no other items on it, in an aron made out of marble or on a floor of stone. Zo mate sheish lo rekev. This is a mate that has this concept or this condition called rekev, whereas nikvar biksuto, if he was buried with clothing on, ba'arum shel eitz, or he's buried in a wooden coffin, ola gabe ritzba shel levanim, or he was buried on a floor of bricks, zehu mate she'en lo rekev. This mate has no rekev. So what's the problem here? It's clear that the mate must be the rot or dust that's created by the decomposition of the body must be the sole item that's there. How you formulate that is actually slightly different between Rashi and the Tosfot over here. Tosfot says over here, "V'ein listapek be'afar acher kim berekev guf shel meit," that you can't have any outside factors here except rekev that comes from a cadaver, from a dead body. So as long as there's a rot from the dead body alone, that's what the condition is to have this rekev. If there are outside influences, then it ruins the rekev of the meit. Rashi, on the hand, formulates it like this: Me'anu ein lanu halacha l'mosh misinai she rekev mitamei ela rekev abba min hamet. That the only time that there's rekev is when it comes from the mate atzmo below tarovet, comes from the mate itself without any mixture. So even though they sound the same, the Mefarshim and Tosfos, there is a slight nuance between them. Tosfos says that as long as gufo shel meis, as long as it comes from a cadaver, that is considered to be rekev. The Mefarish adds one additional term, and it says min hamet atzmo, for the mate itself, without any mixture, without any tarovet, then it's considered rekev. So the nafkamina between them, which we're going to see later on in the Gemara, is going to be when you have two meitim. If you have two meitim, according to the way Tosfos is formulated until now, it seems like two meitim would be fine, because it's all gufo shel meis. It all comes from a cadaver, from a dead body. Whereas according to the Mefarish, it has to come from the mate atzmo. It has to come from the mate itself, and not from any other item. And any other item could include another mate. Now, the Gemara itself is going to say that two mateim are problematic in terms of rekev. So how Tosfos deals with that, we'll see later on. All right, now, continuing the Gemara. Amar Ula. Ein rekev el haba min habasar, u min haginim, u min ha'atzmot. So Ula says that there's no such thing. Rekev must come from a combination of flesh, sinews, and bones. It has to come from basar, gidim, and atzamot. And the way Tosfos formulates it is, mikulam tzrich sheher rekev, that this rekev, this dust, or decomposed mass that we're picking up, must include rot from the basar, gidim, and atzamot. Not that there are other possible interpretations or mefarshim here that explain that basar, mina, gidim, and atzamot have to create the rekev. But once you pick up the rekev, then it can be from any one of these three items. But the way Tosfos formulates it, and most of the Rishonim formulated it, is that each of these items, that when you pick up the record, it has to have a combined or combination of the basar, gidim, and atzmot. So, eitz ve'rava l'uglos, rava challenged Ula's position. Rekev haba min basar tahor. That rekev that comes from flesh is tahor. So now we can imply or infer from that, ha min ha'etzim tameh. That from a bone, it is tameh. Va'afagav the lack of basar, even though there is no flesh along with it. So that would imply that you don't need all three items to create the rekev. So the Gemara says, "Imhalchi rekev abam in a basar tahor." No, rekev that comes from flesh is tahor. Ad yesh etzem bibasar. That's until it has a bone along with flesh. So the Gemara says, "Well, why does that solve the problem? How like a gidim? You don't have gidim. Now you have basar and etzem, but you're still missing gidim." So the Gemara says, "Ef shar lebasar uli atzamot velo gidim." There's no possibility of having flesh and bones without having gidim, without having sinews there. So it's automatically, it's implicit in the fact that you have basar and atzamot, that you also will have gidim over here. So that solves our problem. So this is like Ula now, or the inference from the Mishnah will be like Ula. What haba mina basar, if it's flesh alone, it's tahor. Ha mina etzim, if it comes from the bone, meaning that bone plus flesh, then it is tamei. What about gidim? That the Gemara says is automatic, that if you have a bone and you have basar, that you're going to have gidim alongside or along with it. And therefore this qualifies, or this is like a statement that there's only rekka that comes from basar, gidim, and asamot. The one issue with this Gemara is, what is it coming to exclude? Or if the case is always that there is basar and asam have gidim, then what's the case that we don't have basar, asamot, and gidim? What's the situation? So Tosfos and the Rosh over here mention a case of nefel that we had earlier on. That the ula, the reason why did he mention gidim over here? If gidim are an automatic part of basar and etzem, then why is he mentioning gidim? So the chiddush of gidim, according to Tosfos and the Rosh, is that gidim comes to exclude a nefel, comes to exclude a miscarriage or fetus that was miscarriage. So lo nitkashru evivav begidim, that his body or his bones were not formed with gidim. So therefore, that his bones were not formed with gidim, he'd be excluded from rekev. And the only problem with this is that the Mefarish on the Mishnah earlier on said when it came to Almeis Megaleach, Yadam Rabbi Yochanan, Nitzrachal, and Nefel, right? Why do we need mace in the Mishnah? So Rabbi Yochanan's position we need for a Nefel. Over there, the Mefarish explains, Mesechet Kulim Kai, Vachanami Nefel, Shalom Nitkashu Eve Rav, Begidim Yafel Yafet. The Gidim did not harden fully. Amar Rav Meir, the Mitameh, Papa Pishin Allah Batsar, that it's Mitameh, even though there is no flesh on it. So you see that it seems to be, or at least from there, that the nefel does have gidim. So what you have to differentiate, or you have to say, is that there's a difference over there. It does have gidim, but they're not those kashueva gidim yafeh yafeh. They're not well developed gidim. Whereas over here, the demand for gidim at samot and basar is well developed gidim, and that the nefel is missing. Whereas before, when we talk about the mace, and the nefel would be there, it's because the nefel has gidim, but they're just not well formed. They will not qualify as gidim for rekev, but they will qualify for gidim basar and asamot, even though they're not really well formed in terms of being a full mace. Alright, so now continuing on Gemara. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan. Shnei mitim shehavran ze im ze nase galgalim ze laze. You have two bodies that were placed side by side, and then they decompose together. If you pick up the dirt from these decomposed bodies, each one of them causes the other one not to be rekev because of the mixture. So according to the Mefarish that we explained above, that makes sense, because the demand for rekev is that it be me'amit atzmo, from the mate itself, and nothing else. So over here, this something else could even be another mate. According to Tosfos, who says, no, as long as it comes from a cadaver, decomposition of a cadaver, that is considered the rekev. How is he going to explain this, that it's not the galgalim zelazeh? So that's what Tosfos over here says. If you see in the Tosfos of Shnei Meitim, and at the end he says, the galal gemiri rekev el shemeis echad, the leo sheyesh meis acher murav bo. So here he has to identify that it's halach galamo shemitzinai, that when you have another meis mixed up, that will not be considered rekev. Because according to his logic, right, that as long as a cadaver that was considered rekev, this should also be considered rekev. So why is it eliminated? The reason that it's eliminated is because there's a lach lomish misinai that this rekev can only come from one mace. On the other hand, the way Rash, the Mefarish, formulated it above, that the rekev, what is the definition? The definition of rekev is from a single mace. Then over here, this doesn't qualify for the definition of a rekev of a single mace. It's a mace, Rav Natan, rekev above a mace, mitim, a tamei. Well, we have a verse that says that rekev that comes from two mace is tamei. So Amar Rav Shekavru Zev Bifneatzmo, V'Zev Bifneatzmo, V'Yekivu V'Amdu Amalei Tevard Rekev. Now the case is, they have two Meitim separately buried, they decompose separately, and their Rekev is separate. And then you take each one's Rekev, and each Rekev adds up to half a spoonful. So when you put them together, they make a full spoonful of Rekev. So since each one decomposed independently, created its Rekev independently, they're not affected by the other. And therefore, when you put them together, they can add up to a full spoonful of Rekev. Why it only has to come up to a full spoonful and not more, we're going to actually see from the Gemara further on, which is that there might be some chiddush from that. Amar Rav Barchan Rav Yochanan, Gazaz Gizei Saro B'Kavro Imo Naseh Lo Gagolin. Someone who cut their hair, right, even after death, they cut their hair and placed it in the grave along with the body. Then it'll become a problem, meaning galgalim, it will interfere with this becoming rekev, because now you have an outside entity that's now getting mixed in with the mace. So not awesome. We have a Mishnah over there. Kosher meis tameis chutz min hashinayim v'as se'ar v'as se'porin. Right, there are three. Everything of an ameis is tamei except for the teeth, the hair, v'as se'porin, and the nails. U'kishat chibran kolan tameim. When they're attached, they are all tamei. So why is shinayim, se'ar, and se'porin different? That the Rosh brings down the Gemara from Nida, which says that the definition of what is tamei has to be dumya de etzem, has to be similar to a bone. Ma etzem shen nivra imo, just like a bone is created with him, ve'en gizo machlif, and it doesn't change, I mean it's not exchanged or grow or change. Av kol shen nivra imo, everything that's created with him, ve'en gizo machlif. Yatzu shinayim, shinayim are excluded because they were not created with him. He had his baby teeth, and now they're replaced by his adult teeth. And se'ar and siporin, even though they were created with him, their entity, they're changed over. I mean, that they grow, you cut them, they grow, and you cut them, and then they are changed over. Now, v'shat chibran, when they're attached, they are all tameh. What does that mean? When they're all tameh, so anogevehem, so the Rosh says, anogevehem, kanogev b'basar meis. It's as if you're touching the meis itself. Tosfos formulates it and says that it's a yad, the tumas meis, that they're not like touching the meis himself, but rather they're a yad, they're a vehicle for reaching the meis. But either way, if you touch them, they would be tameh. Sibai Chizkiya. So Chizkiya had a question. Saro ha omed legalayach, siporin omed legazes. If you have hair that is long enough that you would have cut it, or that it should have been cut, had he stayed alive, he would have cut it, or nails, excuse me, that have grown long enough that they also are in need of being cut. My, what's their says? Mir mein kol omed legazes, because uzdame, anything that should be cut or is going to be cut is equivalent to being cut. Odoma hashtam yaha mechubarim. But or now, maybe now they are still attached. Since they are still attached, they'll be considered part of the mace. Now, what is this? What is the question of Chizkiyo about? It's a question of Chizkiyo about Tuma itself, meaning that his question is, when you have stuff that should have been cut off and hasn't been cut off, that will be cut off and hasn't been cut off, that it's not considered attached, and therefore they will not be Tamei, either according to the Rosh, that it's not like part of the mace, or according to Tosos, it's not a Yad of the Tuma. And therefore, they will not conduct Tuma or Tumas Ameis. Is that what he's asking? Or is he asking, if you don't cut these items, do they affect the Rekiv? Do they meaning that when you have these items that should have been cut, and they're not, or they will be cut, and they have not been cut off, now when they get mixed in with the decomposed cadaver, do they cause Galgalim? Do they cause it now to be not pure Rekiv, and there's no din of Rekiv here? So all the Rishonim here bring down both, the Tosfos, the Rosh, bring down both possibilities. And both Tosfos and the Rosh, as opposed to Mefarish, which leads in favor of talking about Rekev, which seems to be the flow of the Gemara, the Tosfos and the Rosh seem to think that it's talking about Tuma here, because we quoted the Mishnah from Olos. And the question in Olos is a din in Tuma, not a din in Galgalim. So they suggest that Chizkiyahu's questions about the Mishnah is on the Mishnah in Olos, and the Mishnah in Olos is a din in Tuma, not a din in Rekev. But either way, which may it be, that the question is, what happens to this stuff that are omitted gozos? We should answer this up from the position of Rabbi Bar Chana. Rabbi Bar Chana said that what? Time is the shum de gozos. Because when you cut your hair, then it becomes galgalim to the other stuff, to the rekev, to the mace. Halo gozos, had he not cut the hair off, lo, it would not be a problem for the mace, meaning it would still be considered mechubar the mace. Right? So if that's the case, then as long as it's attached, and there's nothing to talk about. No, you can't make such a diuk. Gazaz harzei galgalim. No, the position of Rabbi Barchana is that clearly if you cut it off, then it's a problem for Rekiv. That mixture of cut hair or remove teeth or cut nails will cause a problem for Rekiv Hameid. Lo gazaz, if you do not cut it off, mi bayile, it'll still remain a question for him. He didn't address that issue at all. Rabbi Barchana never addressed the issue of not being cut off, and in that case, it'll still have our question, the question of Chizkiyah. So now, Bayi Rabbi Yirmiyah. So another question, a separate issue. Bayi Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rekev Habamina Ekev Mahu. The rod, or the decomposition of the heel, what is the din of this decomposition? Ki gamrinan Rekev Habami Kulei Meis. When we talk about Rekev, it has to come from the entire body. About the Atimina Ekev, low. But if it comes from the heel, that's no good. Oh, Dilma Loshna. Or maybe it makes no difference. So what is unique about the heel? So the Mefarish over here says that it's not the Ikar Guf. The Ikar Guf is from the waist and up, and that which is below the waist is not considered our Ikar Guf. And therefore, maybe the Rekiv, that which is below the waistline, will not be either necessary for Rekiv, or will not will impact or cause problems for other rekiv when it's mixed in. The Rosh, on the other hand, seems to talk about the fact that the skin on the heel is calloused, it's dead already, and since it's dead prior to him dying, meaning that it already died while he was alive, maybe it no longer has the status of rekiv, because rekiv might only be when it decomposes when he's dead. But if it decomposes prior to his death, maybe that will cause problems for you. So the Gemara says, well, Tashma, the tiny Rav Natan Rav Yoshia, Rekav Abba Mishnei Metim. So this is the verse that we quoted above from Natan Rav Yoshia, Rekav Abba Mishnei Metim. That comes from two Metim, Tameh. So it's Tameh. And what do we establish? We establish above that what's the case here by two Metim? It's two Metim that decompose separately. Then we came and we put their Rekav together and they added up together to a full spoonful. So the two Metim in their entirety added up to a spoonful. Lo, if you think that which comes from the Ekev is not considered Rekev, Zilhacha Dilma Derech Echav Kati. Right? Vahacha Dilma Derech Echav Kati. If you look at each mace, if each mace deteriorated in its entirety, decomposed in its entirety, part of the mace was its heel. And yet, here we have an exact Malay Tarva, we have an exact spoonful that's coming from two Metim. And how do you know that there's no piece of Ekev that's mixed in there? Or it must be that there's a piece of Ekev mixed in there. So if there's a piece of Ekev mixed in there, it's clear that Ekev is also considered Rekev. The Gemara says, no. You're right. If the entire body of the mace decomposes, then we have no question about Derech Ekev there. It doesn't have impact on it. That Derech Ekev is included in the Rekev, doesn't affect the Rekev. It's fine. Hakanam. El Hocha, our question is going to Irkav Chad Ever. When you have one Eiver that decomposes, Veka'ati Derech Ekev, and that happens along with the Ekev. My, what's the din? Does Ekev now have a din of Rekev to be added to the other Eiver? Or maybe the Rosh says Ekev impacts on the Eiver that's next to it. If you have the Eiver that's next to the Ekev decomposed, maybe the fact that the Ekev was already decomposed, was already had dead calloused skin, that accelerates the decomposition of the body, and therefore the Eiver next to it will not be considered a Rekev. So my, what's the din? The Gemara leaves this as a teku. All right, next. The question about galgalim, more things that mix in with the mace, whether they affect it. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiya, uber b'mei isha. If you have a fetus in the stomach or the womb of a woman, have a galgalim, although, is that considered to be an outside item, and therefore when it's mixed in, it will cause this, now the woman, not to be a mace? Although, or maybe not. Because we have a basic principle that the uber is considered an extension of the mother, it's therefore the uber is considered like the body of the woman. If it's the body of the woman, then it will be included in the rekiv. Whatever decomposition happens, it will be included. Lo avi galgalin, and therefore will not be an outside item that detracts from the rekiv here. Odilma kaven to sofa that seit. In the end, the fetus is going to come out, mifrash parashmina. It's considered a separate entity from the woman. If it's considered a separate entity from the woman, then it'll be galgalim. Then it'll affect the ability to create the rekiv over here. Now the Gemara, the imtim salomar. The imtim salomar, according to the Rambam, means that the Gemara is now concluded. What? Uber, the sofa, let's say, mifrash parashmina. That an uber, since in the end it's going to come out, it's considered as a separate entity. If it's a separate entity, it will be detract from the woman when she decomposes from forming rekiv, because there's another item there. Now, the question is, Shech Ladzera, what do we do with semen or Shech Ladzera b'mei isha, that's inside the woman? Mal, mi amrinan came in low east tsar ki gufa dami, since the fetus is not created yet, right, it's as if it's part of her body, that anything that's found inside of her body has a din like her body, and since it didn't form a new entity yet, it's not considered separate. Or dilma came into ba'alma ka'ati melo, or maybe because it's an outside item that came into her, I mean, it's not a part of her body, then it'll still be considered separate. If it's considered separate, then it'll affect her rekiv. Over here, the Mepharish has an interesting discussion about what exactly that means. Meaning that, what does it mean when there's a shechvat zera, or that childbearing women will always have shechvat zera inside them, and there'll be an automatic presumption of them having shechvat zera, and therefore a woman would never have rekiv unless she was too old, right, beyond the point where she could have children, or she's not a bat banim, or a b'tula, a woman prior to her childbearing years before she's had intercourse, and that would make it a very unique circumstance in which a woman could have rekiv based on this, at least according to the Mepharish Lawrence. That's based on the assumption of the Mepharish and some other Rishonim that a woman who is bat banim, who is of childbearing age, always has shechvat zera b'me'ah. Alright, so now the Gemara continues with questions. Boy Rav Papa Pirsha Mahu. If you have excrement, or meaning anything that's in the digestive system of the woman, what's the din of this? Came into Lomakaima below Achla, since what? If she didn't eat, she wouldn't survive. It's considered siyutahu, it's considered part of her existence, part of her body. Odilma hanami ma'amati, or maybe food is an external item. And since it's an external item, that also will be considered when it decomposes, then you'll have rekev, or this mixed in with the rekev, and you won't have pure rekev. So by Ravacha, Brei Ravika, Oro, his skin. What about skin? Mahu. Right? What's the din with skin? By Rav Huna Bar Manoach, Kechovaneo Mahu. What about saliva and mucus? What about those items? They're also, are they external items? And therefore, when they decompose with the body, they create a mixture and there won't be pure rekev to have the lach of the Moshe Mishina. You're not. What are these things? Now, Amalei Rav Shmuel Barach, the Rav Papa, Isaac Adaka, Kunhani Ka'amar, Havigalgalim Rekev. If all these items are going to make it into the fact that you can't have rekiv, then how do we ever find a case where a decomposed body will have rekiv? How are you going to have this? You have parish, anything that's in the digestive system. If you have mucus and saliva, or the skin, you're never going to come up with a case that is a case of rekiv, pure rekiv. Mar says, no, we can come up with this case. Dashke made the kolim, that they fed him a special type of drink. This is found by the Gemara in Shabbat, talks about it, these two palm trees that are found in Yerushalayim, that you drank the water from there. It was a laxative and was able to clear out the body. So first of all, he drank this, made the kalim, sounds like he did it right before he died. The sakhi nashu, and then he anointed his body with some sort of depilatory so that it removed all the hair. Rishalko b'meit veria, and then they cooked him in the hot springs of Tveria, which allowed the skin to be removed, or the outer skin to be taken off. So in all these cases, now you can remove all these items that might be perish, and then that might be galgalin to the rekiv, and then you can come up with this pure case of rekiv. This is a very, very far case. I would just point out a number of things here. First of all, I heard in the name from Rabbi David, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that they had a mesora, that the word here, oro, the question was not oro, but se'aro, but hair. Because oro just doesn't seem to make so much sense. Or is metamei, the fact that or, that you would have to say that or is not rekiv, is such a far-fetched case here, that doesn't make sense that oro is the question here. It's rather, it is se'aro. And I think that they might have gone, if you look in the Tosos over here on Sakhinasha brings down a Rashi. And Rashi says Sakhinasha is to remove the Se'ar. And then Shalkova makes various also to remove hair over here. It's to remove hair, different types of hair. One is to remove the hair itself, and one is to remove the roots of the hair. So that's why they have two cases, Sakhinasha and the case of, Shalkova makes Tveria, because both of those help you in removing the hair completely. Based on that, it seems to be that the gears here, there's no oro here. According to the way that Rashi is learning, the oro doesn't, Mashalkov Meit Tveria has nothing to do with skin, and has to do with removing the hair. And so therefore, the gears should not be oro mahu, but rather sit aro mahu. And that Tosfos points out later on the Tosfos also that based on this, right, when we're asking about hair over here, it's clearly that the Gemara is not, right, dealing with the saro homemade the gazit dummy that we had earlier on in the case of Rabba, right? Rabba already told us what the state of hair is. If hair is attached, that it's okay. So you have to say what? That you have to, right? Whether when you don't attach the hair, when the hair is cut off, right? What is the status over here? So now you have to say that this Gemara over here does not hold like, right? Rabba over there, that the hair that's going to be taken off is a problem of Galgalim. All right, just some quick points over here. All right, Amar Rabbi Naftina. Right, we have a din. Naktina generally means, we have, Rashi says this in other places, that Naktina means that Aloha lo Mishin Sinai, or this is a Mesorah, mate, Shitacha, no, that was ground up. A mate that was ground up in lo Rekiv, doesn't have a din of Rekiv. Yivailahu, Tachano, v'chazer hirkiv, mahu. Alright, so Tachano, we understand that if you grind it up and make it into dust, that that's not Rekiv, because Rekiv means decomposed, that it's rotted. But what happens if you grind the mates up and then it decomposes? So the whole din of rekiv, because you need these three different items that Ula mentioned, basar, gidin, matzamot, and now we have them, and they are decomposing. Or do we need a decomposition to have of the body as a sense that it comes like it was born, meaning that's the way it was created. The body needs to decompose from a full figure down, not when it's been ground up. So that Gemara says, take, we'll leave that as unsolved. Tanya ba ula bar chanina. Ma shechaser, mace shechaser, in lo rekiv. That a mace that is missing any part of him, in lo rekiv, does not have a din of rekiv. Velo tfusa, it also does not have a din of tfusa. Tfusa is something we learned that when a mace dies, when you remove the base, or when you exhume the body, you have to remove the body plus all the soft dirt that's around it. Velo shchunat kvarot, and not a shchuna of kvarot. Shchuna of kvarot is that if you find three meitim that are spaced out with within 4 to 8 amot of each other, once you found three meitim like that, we assume that this might be a beis kvarot, this might be a cemetery, and then we make you check a much vaster expanse around them to determine whether we have a cemetery here or these are just random bodies that have been placed in the ground. So if you find one of those three meitim has chaser, is missing some part of the body, then it's not a din of shkunat kvarot. So Tosfos automatically says it's archi, and why not? Why, just because the mace is chaser doesn't make, why does that differentiate and make it a not a shkunat kvarot, not a cemetery? So Tosfos says it must be, or maybe it is, halacha l'moshe b'sinai. The Rosh makes it as a definitive statement that all these dinim are a dinim of halacha l'moshe b'sinai, because there's really no logic. You can't apply logic to these items. But this is the din. When a mace is chaser, there is no rekiv, there's no tfusa, and there's no shkunat kvarot. These are dinim of halacha l'moshe b'sinai. Now the Gemara is going to challenge this position that a mace chaser doesn't have rekiv. Meitzvei, lo yimamar, so you have the Mishnah in Etiyot, which is trying to discuss basar that came from Eivir Shel Meis versus basar that came from Eivir Shel Chai. So Gemara wants to say, well, if you have basar that came, meat that, or flesh that came off a basar of a Eivir Shel Meis, and basar that came off an Eivir Shel Chai, we should compare the two. So Gemara says, you can't compare them. Why? Lo yimamar, so the Meis. When you're talking about Eivir Min HaMeis, Sheish Lo Rov, first of all, that when you have Rov Binyan or Rov Minyan, it's Mitame, Verova, Hakava, Samos, is also Mitame, oh, Malay Tarbad Rekiv, and has a din of Malay Tarbad Rekiv. Tomar Bechai, Shein Lo Lo Rov, doesn't have this din of Rov, Lo Rovo, Lo Malay Tarbad Rekiv, there's no Rekiv by a Chai, Hey Chidomi. So what's the case here? Here the Ikav Chad Eiver, right? If you're talking about a case where it's one Eiver that came off, the Kavate Gabay Meis, so if you do Chad Eiver, Ikav Rekiv. So you see, what's the case here? We're comparing a Eiver of a that came off of a live person and an Eiver that came off of a dead person. And here the Mishnah differentiates between an Eiver that came off a dead person and an Eiver came off of a Chai, of a live person, that what? That the Eiver of a mace has Rekiv. What do you mean it has Rekiv? We just said that you need the whole mace without anything missing. How could you have a single Eiver create Rekiv? Where it says, Miktani ha mace, doesn't say if the mace, if it died or if it's from a dead person that has. It says, Hakmashlan shum mace ish lo Rekiv, shum Chai ain't lo Rekiv. No. At the Mishnah over there is talking about categories. Within the category of mace, you have rekiv. Within the category of live people, you don't have rekiv. Not that this Eiver in particular will have rekiv, but that in the category of Eiver HaMace, you can have such a concept called rekiv if you have a whole body. But even if you have a whole body by a live person, by definition, they're still alive, so they're not dead, but you can't have rekiv. So it's not a din about this particular Eiver, it's a din in the category of mace and the category of chai. So by Rovo, whatever, what happens if Hirkiv Shku Chai? He has a part of his body that decomposed while he was still alive, meaning that either it fell off, he had an Eiver Min HaChai that fell off and it decomposed, or the more likely scenario is where it's still attached to his body and it's decomposed while it's attached to his body. So now when he passes away, right, what happens to it? Kishu Chai, Bechazer V'meis, now he dies, Mo. Ki Gemiri Rekiv Dikir Kishu Meis. That what's the din of Rekiv is only when it happens when he is dead, meaning that all the decomposition has to happen after he's dead. Odilma hashtum yahamayis. Maybe now, no, once he dies, everything that decomposes is converted into rekiv. So Tashma, let's bring the same proof from our Mishnah in Adios. Lo yamart v'meishesh lo rov v'rovo maleter v'ad rekiv. The din of mace, or Avramina mace, is what? That it has rov binyan, has rov akavasamot, and maleter v'ad rekiv. So there is rekiv created. Tomar b'chai. So what? So you see, taima mishum b'chai. As long as he's alive, there's no din of rekiv. Ha mace, after he dies, there is rekiv, yesh lo rekiv. So it means that even if it starts to decompose while he's alive, the issue at hand is whether he's alive or dead. Right? Mace, okay. As soon as he dies, there's a din in rekiv, even though the rekiv started prior, the decomposition started prior to his dying. If he's alive, chai, then there is no rekiv. So Gemara says, mikani ha mace, doesn't say when he dies. It says, akamashman, the shum mace, lo rekiv, shum chai, ain't lo rekiv. Not telling us in particular when he dies there is rekiv, right? I mean that anything that was around when it's rekiv, but rather it's telling us in the category. In the category of mace, there is rekiv. In the category of chai, there is no rekiv. That maybe even when he dies and it decomposed beforehand, that doesn't convert it into rekiv. Maybe it needs to all decompose after he died. All right, we'll stop here and continue tomorrow.